Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. In fact, Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/podcastfree. All lowercase, shopify.com/podcastfree, shopify.com/podcastfree.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Sports Grid Fantasy Football Podcast. My name is Davis Maddock. I am joined, as always, on Friday mornings by my buddy, Rich Rebar from sharpfootballanalysis.com. We pick our five favorite games against the spread here. And, interesting week for picking games. Not nearly as good of a fantasy week as I think it was last week, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, last week, actually, we had some fun games early on. I was like, oh, there's points and touchdowns being scored. What is this like? What does this feel like? It's been like a month since I felt that way at 2 o'clock. Usually it's been like, oh man, where are we gonna suck these points out of today?
Right. Yeah. it was like the first half of those games felt like 2020 games again, which was great. I don't really know what they just got to stop calling holding penalties. It feels like that's the easiest thing that they can do. If they just stop calling the holding penalties, we're all going to be good. But we are going to pick some games against the spread here. And I'll let you start first with your number five.
So there are like three games I feel good about this week. So keep that in mind. Okay. And then it's kind of sketchy that, like, as we get lower, a lot of big lines, and then there's some tight lines that are, which is what I'm going to start with, one of these tight lines. And I'm going to take the Buccaneers. I don't feel great about it, but it was between them or the Saints for the spot. And I just can't, like.
Yeah, I like the Buccaneers here. That was my number four. I mean, they're just a better team than the Bills are. Cool. Right.
All right. Yeah. I mean, it's kind of like a kind of more of a toss up game, but I just think, like, them being at home, and then I think them having kind of the advantage of, you know, we haven't really seen the fallout from, like, the trade to Davis White injury yet. And I think that it's like a terrible spot to find out if versus the Buccaneers, who are going to line Mike Evans up on Dane Jackson for a good amount of the time. Dane Jackson, all of 130 coverage snaps in the NFL. And then, you know, I just think that also the aggressive mindset of the Buccaneers plays in really well here against the Bills. So I think we're going to see a pretty tight game. I think the Bills are going to score. I think this could be a really fun game for DFS. Obviously, everyone's going to be holding a lot of pieces at 4 p.m. Sure. in this game. Yeah. But it's really just kind of a slight edge to Brady and the boys at home. I don't really have
and the Bills are tilting. The Bills are tilting. You gotta accept that narrative. The Bills are they are not having a good time. They're so mad about that. Like McDermott, like, I think McDermott was right. Like, oh, Bill Belichick put this masterclass together, but he is tilting. Like McDermott is tilting.
We've given, like, Bill Belichick deserves a lot of credit over his career, and he's done a lot of brilliant things over his career. Monday night is like
Damian Harris breaks off a 75-yard touchdown run. He's a genius, right? That's really what it comes down to.
Yeah, I mean, and the Bills had four possessions in the red zone and came with one touchdown. McDermott did one donkey call where he kicked a field goal into the one end of the wind. And then Dawson Knox sabotaged the drive. And then Josh Allen made the wrong read on what could have been the potentially game-winning touchdown, where Cole Beasley was wide the F open.
Right.
Well, I mean, he was wide open because the dude bailed and he guessed right and read the play. So, I mean, a little credit to that backup DB. But, like, Beasley was the guy, man. Beasley's walking in for a touchdown on that play. But, yeah, I think this game could be a lot of fun. I mean, you got two really – these offenses are both first and third in pass rate on first downs outside of the fourth quarter. So two aggressive teams. I just have a little more faith in the Bucs side right now than the Bills side.
Yeah. No, I'm with you there. Okay, my number five, it's just because the line is so big, but it's the Chargers at home against the Giants. And, you know, obviously no Keenan Allen is going to be disruptive to them. It looks like Mike Williams, because he's a close contact and he tested negative, actually is probably going to be able to play. Like, I have Mike Williams in our projections at dailyroto.com. Mm-hmm. I think he's going to be able to play, and the Giants are probably going to be starting Jake Fromm at quarterback. I don't think checking down to Saquon Barkley 14 times in this game is going to get them across the line. I mean, they have zero touchdowns to running backs or wide receivers the last 5 weeks. Like, it is an all-time bad offense right now happening for the New York Giants.
Yeah, I left this one off just for the sake of just what's going on, not knowing what's going on with the Chargers and like who will be available. But no problems with it. I mean, the Giants are an absolutely miserable offense that might be on their third quarterback, or Jake Fromm, who beat out Justin Fields. Kirby Smart chose.
That's true. That is true. People forget. It is true.
Jake Fromm also, was released from the Bills after this preseason, where he completed 4.8 yards per pass attempt in the preseason this year. It could be rough. A lot of checkdowns to Saquon. Sterling Shepard looks like he'll play. Maybe Tony will play too, but it's just all about who's available on the Chargers side. But we saw them get Matt Filer back, and they actually took some deep shots downfield last week. So hopefully, if Keenan is out and it has to run through Big Mike, that there's still, a vertical passing element in this game.
Right.
I'm really going to be real curious. It looks like Jared Cook is getting a lot of DFS.
A lot of buzz. Yeah.
That's probably not going to go well.
No, that probably is not going to go particularly well. I mean, I was just working on our projections right before I got on with you, and I was like, I mean, I don't know where else to put these targets. Like, I don't really believe that Jalen Guyton and Josh Palmer can both be like 18% market share targets guys. Probably the answer is Eckler. Honestly, Eckler just combs it all up like that. That really does. That really probably will be the solution. So that's my number five. And my number four was the Buccaneers. It's kind of surprising to me that it's actually not 3.5 that Buccaneers game. I thought Brady would get a little bit of that respect, but the market does love Josh Allen. So what is your number four?
My number four is another one where I'm going out on a little step here, because I think it's more of a 50-50 game. I'm going to take the Bengals getting points at home against the 49ers for a couple of reasons.
One, this was my number one.
Is it? Oh, sweet. Okay.
Like, right. What? How? This is a stupid fucking line. What is happening here?
Yeah. I mean, the Bengals are one of these teams that have been a little Jekyll and Hyde, but they've got like some big time boat race wins, and they're at home. And we got this 49ers team that one is, going west. It's not a really kick, but you got West Coast team going inside, with no Debo Samuel, potentially no Elijah Mitchell. Jeff Wilson, like, his body is clearly telling him that he's not ready to play football.
So we might have
just like a hodgepodge of running backs, which is fine. Before now, they'll figure something out. But
well, what's the latest on Debo?
As of Thursday, like, he was just doing like bike work. So I don't know. We're recording this Friday morning, so things can change, but he was just doing bike work. So it's really hard to get a gauge and if he'll be available and even be 100%. And even the way, like, with Debo, the way he's used, like, him playing with a groin injury, like, that's not, I think the greatest thing. And I know,
no, that's not ideal.
Coming off a spot where Dalvin Cook just smashed when everyone was hesitant. So, I mean, definitely play Debo if you got him and he's active, but I don't know how much running we'll see Debo do in the run game if he does play. And then you've got a quarterback edge. Like, Burrow, even with our injured pinky, and he was already practicing and throwing passes on Thursday, like, he's an edge over Garoppolo for sure. Garoppolo in the second half of that Seattle game was an abject nightmare. Like, he was awful. So, I mean, we're getting home field advantage. We're getting quarterback advantage.
They're giving points. Like, okay, the Bengals have better wide receivers. Bengals have a better running back, right? Without Eli Mitchell, they definitely have the better running back. They have the way better quarterback. I mean, down 10 points, Joe Burrow can get you back in a game. I mean, he did it against the Chargers. They fought back against the Chargers. I mean, part of that was that the Chargers totally went into a shell on offense, but they fought back. But they were down 24 at one point, I think, and they fought back to make that competitive. I mean, this line is, what are we doing here?
It just feels wrong, right?
It just feels wrong. Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, that's just kind of what it is. And like you said, the Bengals are really built to kind of attack the 49ers where they're weakest at. And I think the Bengals do deserve a little bit of criticism of maybe being like a two run heavy at this point.
Yeah, they clearly are wanting to model themselves as like a Patriots-esque style team or whatever for whatever reason. Or even I mean, before Matt Stafford got there, that was a criticism you could levy at McVay, who Zach Taylor coached under. They would just be too conservative on offense given what they were able to do passing the ball.
But if they want to go three wide here, because the 49ers' weakest spot is those cornerbacks. So, I mean, you go three wide here and you just open it up and kind of take the 49ers to where they're the most vulnerable at. I mean, the 49ers should have lost that game by 17 to 20 points if Gerald Everett doesn't give away two touchdowns in that game.
That's true. People forget that he was shaving points in that game. I'll never forget it.
It was an all-time bad like performance. And Dawson Knox tried to follow it up on Monday night, but man, Gerald Everett, like, it was a rough one, man. He don't want to watch any of the film
Like Jimmy Garoppolo on the road against a team that can easily go 303. Like, you know, Burrow can just do that. Like, I think this should be Bengals by three. Like, I don't have a model to back that up, but if you and I were doing this on Sunday night and we were playing guess the lines like Cousin Sal and Bill, I would have said Bengals by three.
I'm curious what it is at Football Outsiders right now.
Oh yeah. That's a good point. I bet they have, well, the analytics stuff always kind of likes the 49ers though.
That is true. They do. Yeah, I don't know where they have it at. As everyone's favorite part of like any podcast.
Yeah, no, vamping for time. Yeah, no, the people do love it.
No, we can move on though. You can give your one, and we can circle back. That was your number one though, so cool.
That was my number one.
It makes me feel a little bit better then. So
I thought I was looking through lines, and I was just like, oh, that's clearly the number one. Like I feel because it fits. Like it's, you got a good narrative, which is Jimmy G on the road against a passable defense. Like you don't want, and outdoors, you know, all that stuff. Like Jimmy in the Midwestern cold and stuff. Yeah. So that was my number one. And we just did my number four, which was the Buccaneers. So what is your number three?
So my three is the Cardinals under three, which I like. You
know, I had this one as well.
All right. So yeah, I anytime you can get these, the short home favorites, I really like, anything under the field goal. I also think the Cardinals just match up well with what the Rams want to do. So the way to beat the Cardinals is you want to beat up the interior of their defense, right? You want to run power football and be able to kind of control the script, like kind of like Green Bay did on the Thursday night game. That's like how you beat them. The Rams really are not built to do that. And we've seen the kind of McVay kind of hint this week that they want to do some more of that stuff, but they're not really built to do that. I mean, that's the weakest part of their team is the interior offensive line. So we also seen that Kyler came back and looked like old Kyler. I mean, he was running around on a terrible field.
Yeah, he looked great.
And you know, I think people forget just because Kyler was absent for so long and maybe them winning two of three games with Colt McCoy, like hurts him in the minds of voters of like MVP race and stuff,
but he's the MVP fave.
He's literally number one in like every single like quarterback metric.
Though. Well, other
like,
than Jameis.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So, I mean, Kyler coming back and playing well, because you remember when these two teams played earlier in the year, they played in LA and they dog walked
them. They dog walked them. Yeah.
And Kyler had like a play in this game. I think it was a 3rd and 15 where the Rams had a perfect play call and they had like a cover zero blitz and the blitz gets there and Kyler just peels back, sheds yardage and runs for 17 yards and a first down. Perfect play call, perfect defense. And it didn't matter. That's like how Kyler, like when Kyler's operating, like he's just a player that trumps the best of what a defense can offer. And this Rams defense also hasn't really been playing good for basically 4 or 5 weeks now. And I also want to give a mea culpa to our guy that we've bagged on, Cliff, pretty heavily. Now, he may just come back after I give him support and stick it to us. But he Cliff might. Has done an absolutely amazing job this year. I think he should be front runner for coach of the year. I know Belichick's probably going to win it because
that's buddy, the voters are like, they cannot wait. They've already like been practicing their penmanship to write in his name on that list. Like they are so excited.
Well, expectations go so much into coach of the year. And like, so like they're exceeding expectations go greatly. Like it's a look at Belichick. And I think Belichick's done an amazing job. But I think Cliff Kingsbury has done the best coaching job so far in the NFL this season. He won two or three games without Kyler Murray, and DeAndre Hopkins is about out every one of those games. J.J. Watt's been injured. He's actually my co-host Dan Pizzuta made an argument that like Kyler actually and DeAndre may have actually unlocked more of like what Cliff can do. Like he actually has been in his bag a little bit more. That's a short passing game and using some of these other assets. Now they're going to get Chase Edmonds back.
Except it didn't happen with Rondale.
Yeah, I mean, but that was always a worry with Rondale Moore, though. Like, Rondale Moore is still being the same Rondale Moore we saw in college. Like, there's, like, still a direct overlap. I think that we're seeing a lot was to be expected, but I don't know. I just like the Cardinals a lot more than the Rams as a football team right now. I think that they've kind of flown under the radar because maybe they just haven't done it yet and people don't want to give them credit. They're like, wow, the Cardinals losing the playoffs, whatever. We'll acknowledge their 13-win season. Like, I guess down the road if we have to, but they'll lose in the playoffs. We're not expecting them to beat all these other juggernauts, but I think they are actually the best team in the NFC.
I think they are the best team in the NFL.
Beautiful.
Yeah, I think they are. And the dominant narrative like 10 days ago was that Matthew Stafford was hurt and Odell Beckham was a cancer. And like, I don't understand how that narrative changed so much because who did they beat? The Jaguars? Is that who they just beat? Yeah. They just beat up on the Jaguars. Like, of course they just beat up on the Jaguars. That team is completely clueless and hopeless. So obviously, like, I don't know. It just feels like they're like, oh, the Rams righted the ship because they beat the Jaguars. Like the Texans are probably going to beat the Jaguars the next time they play. Like they're the worst.
All right, so for anyone listening to us, to Donkeys Talk, Football Outsiders has, it should be Bengals +5.
I knew they would be in on the 49ers. I knew the analytics stuff would like the 49ers because the 49ers get all the little stuff. And that's why people are obsessed with Shanahan is because he does a lot of those little things, right? You just got to account for the Garoppolo factor, which is a huge factor in this game. He's not good. He just is really not good. Yeah.
They're going to get something for him though. Like who's the team trading for Steelers. Garoppolo this offseason?
Steelers.
No way. Right. You think
Broncos?
So?
Broncos?
Maybe. Yeah, maybe. Maybe the Broncos.
If Rodgers and Russell Wilson either stay put or, you know, Russ goes to New Orleans would be a really Justice was telling me he wants to go to a big market, so like New York maybe. But yeah, I mean, someone is trading a second round pick for Jimmy G a la Sam Darnold for sure.
It's happening.
All right, so that
you
was
Cardinals
your,
too then, huh?
Yeah, that was my number two. That was my number two.
We almost got all yours out of the way.
So my last one here to get out of the way is the Saints -5.5 points. The Jets are the worst. They are worse. They are the worst. They can't do anything on offense. It looks a little bit like they did something on offense last week because they got gifted that amazing field position twice in the first half against the Eagles, but then they got dog walked for the rest of that game. It's all bad. You know, Corey Davis is on the IR. I mean, it's just that they got nothing. There's nothing they can do. They're terrible. And the Saints will just run the ball.
This was in contention to be my on there for that exact reason. I just didn't know if I could willfully bring myself to tout on a show.
Taysom with the Taysom with the mallet
with
finger.
A hurt finger,
right?
With almost 6 points on the road, but I don't disagree with this at all.
Yeah, I mean it just feels like betting against the Saints or betting against the Jets is like just a gift, right? It's just that's all it is. It's just a stone cold gift.
I think Zach Wilson showed a little bit of life in the first half and then was bad in the second half. What do you mean, Zach Wilson? They can't, like, oh man, they're gonna have an option though to get out. Like, do you punt after a year?
They're not gonna have like a particularly good pick or anything, right?
Yeah, I mean, they have though picks. Like, what if they could get Deshaun Watson?
I think Deshaun Watson is going to be in jail. So
very, very well possible.
Like I think that all these people wish casting on Deshaun Watson because his case goes to court in February And I just think it's going to be like, well, this guy's not playing in the NFL, and we're all going to have spent the last year, forecasting where this guy is going to go when he is either in jail or banned from playing in the NFL because he broke the code of conduct or whatever. So I don't know what they do. Maybe Robert Saleh, maybe they trade the second round pick for Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yeah, I don't know. I just don't know what you do with Zach Wilson at this point. Like, it feels like already sunk cost. Like, he's been that bad.
He's been terrible. Yeah. Who's their offensive coordinator? I don't even know.
LaFleur, the other Mike LaFleur.
Oh, I mean, I don't know. Maybe you give him one more year with a different offensive coordinator. You fire this guy and you bring in a different offensive coordinator. Maybe that does it.
Yeah. I mean, the biggest thing for me with Zach Wilson, though, too, is like, how much faith can you have in this current like Jet staff? Like, they've been awful, like objectively awful the entire season.
Yes. Yeah. We have gotten no indication that anyone in that building, from their 53rd guy on offense up to the ownership of the team, that they have any clue. I mean, they are the New York franchises are setting like records for incompetence, basically.
Yeah.
It's not good. Yeah. All right. There we go. So let's run through the rest of yours then. Cause mine are all done.
I have two left. The Panthers are ahead next. Just feels like a really easy spot. We know that there's like one great unit in this game, and it's the Panthers defense. And they're going to have now the Matt Rhule wish life of just being able to run the football,
being able to run the ball
and be boring. They're actually going to be able to do it in this game. So at home, as a favorite against this Falcons defense that is last in the NFL in pressure rate, last in the NFL in sacks. They can play Cam Newton, play conservative, use like RPO game, just kind of control the clock and just like not let Kyle Pitts beat them, who hasn't beat anybody, but they'll play Stephon Gilmore like they did the first game, Kyle Pitts. I actually bet the hell out of this game the first time it came around. So I'm just going to help double it back on it, because they were getting points in Atlanta earlier in the year, never were in jeopardy of losing that game.
And so
I'm just going to go back and say under less than a field goal, I'm going to get now at home. In a spot where they can just play conservative football, I'm going to just take that. Know if you have anything to add on to there, but.
It's just like that. And the Falcons give up in these games too, which you got to feel good about, right? Anytime you see a team just completely give up, like they've done it twice where they've gotten behind and they just have been trying to run the clock out. They did it on the Thursday night game against the Patriots, and they did it against the Cowboys, where they were just like, you know what? Let's not do this. Let's just run Wayne Gallman into the line and move on from there. Kyle Pitts, what's your take on what the deal is with Kyle Pitts?
I think everyone was right. I think it's one of the rare cases where everyone was right. He showed, he's going to have this like historically good tight end season in context of the position. He definitely flashed some ability, was a complete overdrafted pick in redraft leagues. So, I mean, it's one of those things where like kind of like everyone was right. But once Calvin Ridley left this team, just he died. Like all his production. I saw Dwayne McFarland tweet like his like help coverage and double coverage rate and just the splits are just tremendously night and day. They just don't have anyone else offensively to threaten the defense. I mean, they're now resorted to giving Russell Gage a dozen targets a game. That's like where we are at the stage of the Falcons.
That's sad, bro. That's a sad sentence.
And it's just, so I think everyone is right. It was really one of those things. Like, he definitely showed enough. I think he'll be the dynasty tight end one. He definitely flashed enough, but also was a rookie tight end and was overdrafted fantasy pick.
What would you do with him? Because, you know, we're in all these dynasty leagues together where it's super flex and tight end premium. What would you, if you had him, what would you be doing with him? And if you didn't have him, do you think he's a guy worth trading one of these 2022 firsts for?
Yeah, I would hold or easily take out of this class. Like, I would take Pitts over a lot of players in this class. The one thing I will say that I will defend in this Falcons season is that Matt Ryan did not play bad this season.
Yeah.
Like in context of everything, that offensive line, the lack of talent, I actually do believe Matt Ryan played well. Also, their coaching staff is another one that's terrible. He's last in the NFL in passing rate, but pass attempts on first down.
Like, yeah, they run with Mike Davis or Gallman
for 2 yards
on like every second
and
eight.
It's second and eight every time the Falcons have the ball. I will say this: for as much as like hand wringing we've done on Matt Ryan over the year, I will defend Matt Ryan's play this year. He played actually in context of the circumstance. I think he actually did perform at a baseline to above average level for a lot of quarterbacks that would have been thrown in the same spot.
Okay, I bet I can guess your number one.
Can you do it?
Ravens plus 3.
No, I didn't. I'm just, yeah.
Okay. All right. So we're on the same page then, where like I was looking through and I was like, oh, I'm taking the Ravens here. And then I looked at it and I was like, wait, no, I'm not taking the Ravens here. They're playing like shit.
This is what you took them last week. And my thing was like, I just can't right now.
Yeah.
I
gotta, no. And you were right. They are playing like ass.
Well, if people have listened to this show over the course of the season, I've gone against the Ravens a few times too, because just they're a team that, their record has not been indication of like what their performance has been on the field this year. They've won some games they shouldn't have won, and they finally had one variance game swing their other way, right? They didn't make the play. They could have won the game still, but they just didn't make the play. They had made the final play a number of games. Didn't happen this week. Remember, I mean, they came back from 22 on the Colts. It needed multiple two-point conversions, like force overtime, and then they get they score on that. They win a game on the longest field goal in NFL history. Like,
oh yeah, I'd forgotten about that.
There's a lot that happened in the Ravens season. They finally just didn't make the play, right? It was there for them. They just swung in the other direction, the variance play. But this is a team that they've just had so many injuries. Lamar's confidence looks shot right now.
Like
a whole body language. Like, we know that stuff that's not like analytical, and it's more narrative.
He looked good as a runner to me against Seattle, especially, or against Pittsburgh in the second half. Like, I thought he looked more capable as a runner than he had been. But every time he dropped back to pass, I felt like he was just like, oh, I'm just going to get sacked. Like, I'm just going to get hit here, and I don't really want to get hit. Like, which is for Lamar, who is a good passer, but certainly not, like a surgeon, throwing down the field or whatever. It's not a good spot for him to be in.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just going to leave it alone. The Browns don't blitz a lot, and I don't think he'll throw 4 interceptions a game, but we'll see kind of what happens. I'm just not going to touch it. A game could be terrible. Neither of those teams can really score right now. But my number one is, and I do believe, because, the media loves stuff like this. They did it with the Steelers a few weeks ago when the Steelers beat all those bad teams and played fragile football, and people are like, oh, the Steelers are back. But the Cowboys, dude, this game should be this should be a touchdown or higher. For sure. This Washington team is winning on smoke and mirrors right now. This four game
total smoke and mirrors.
It's all like, this is the most fragile brand of football that people always get sucked into believing teams are good. This ball control, time of control the clock, like, and they've almost lost a bunch of these games even doing this.
Yeah.
And the only thing that's swung for Washington is like their third down variance has basically flipped. Like, they're second since the bye, they're second in the NFL in third down conversion rate. And on defense, they're top 5 too. And they are bottom 5 in the league in those metrics before the bye. That's really like what is allowed it to, but it's a very fragile way to live in the NFL. And I also believe that these running back injuries for the Cowboys actually might be a semi-blessing, because the Washington's already a pass funnel defense. Think about this, like, before the bye, they trailed for more snaps in the NFL than anybody in the league, more than the Jets, more than the Lions. And they still are, opposition is 5th in the NFL in pass rate against them. They've been good against the run. So now I think this sets up to be a real bread and butter Dak passing script, like it was on Thursday, against the Saints.
I hope so.
I mean, I think that the Cowboys are going to throw all over this Washington team. And I also think that just the Washington's been playing, on a very, very thin ice, their brand of football. And this could be one of these scripts where we get back to hair on fire, Taylor Heineke. But I am supremely confident the Cowboys go in there and dust Washington. So come at me and at me when it's
I mean, Washington sucks. I just am in a weird place with the Cowboys right now, where I was so high on them, and then they lost to Denver and they lost that awful Raiders game. And now I'm just like, I don't know what to believe. I do think you're right, though. if Pollard doesn't play and Zeke is still feeling wonky, like if his knee is still feeling bad and Dak just drops back and passes 45 times here and Kellen Moore, because Kellen Moore also has not been in his bag the last couple of weeks. Kellen Moore has been calling a much more, you know, just kind of regular straightforward offense. I think you're right. I think they could, I mean, they could score 40 points here if they were really going and they got Gallup back. Cooper should be good. He's had 10 days now to work on his conditioning. Lamb, you know, those guys, they all just got a 10-day rest, right? They played 3 games in 12 days. The whole team has got a rest. That's really big for them, I think.
Yeah, I like this spot for Dallas. So everyone can come and say how bad I am at this when they lose on Sunday.
Yeah. I mean, what about for DFS this week? Like, we got to pick one of these games to go over because the Tampa Bay Buffalo game is looking like an all-time chalk spot here. Like all-time chalk spot.
These haven't hit, and I'm not saying this one won't hit. I'm just saying we've had a few of these over the past, 6 weeks with Cowboys Chiefs just most recently.
Oh, God.
And, like, it never got there. But I don't know, man. I've been asked this question on a number of shows. Of what game to pinpoint. I mean, maybe 49ers Bengals.
It's 49ers Bengals, right? The Bengals get up 10. We got Kittle. We got Ayuk. The Bengals will still throw enough for one of T or Chase will get there. You know, if the Bengals score 30 or whatever, maybe even both. I mean, they both could have gotten there last week had Chase not dropped that interception. They both would have gotten there.
It could be this game too. It could be Cowboys.
Cowboys Washington. Yeah.
You know, if it goes the way I said, because like this game is like a start game, right? Like it's how does the start of this go? Does Washington like open the game with like an 8-minute touchdown drive, or do the Cowboys open with like a 7-play, like 2-minute drive where they just go right down the field?
What do you think happens with the tight end situation for Washington? Because, you know, all season it's just been whoever starts just plays every snap. And then we saw a little bit more of Bates last week with Logan Thomas before Logan Thomas got injured.
2 weeks in a row.
And then Ricky Seals-Jones is expected to play, but he's not been able to get in a full practice. Like it feels like, I mean, if RSJ sits, I think Bates is like a jam. But what do we think if both of them play?
I think though, you won't see Ricky Seals-Jones play 100% of the snaps. I mean, just logic would dictate it, right? When Logan Thomas came back from the hamstring on Monday night, 2 weeks ago, him and Bates split work too. So right. I just think it comes down to a health thing. Like, I don't think Ricky Seals-Jones is fully healthy, obviously, by what's going on in practice this week. So tougher to say. I mean, you've got a spot where like no one really likes to play McLaurin because of what's gone down this year. He's been so volatile, but when he does hit, he's hit for huge games. So he'd be like an easy run back because people are going to play the hell out of Antonio Gibson again. But I still think there's some fragility to Antonio Gibson because we haven't seen him hit in negative game script yet in a game with JD McKissick. So if McKissick,
I don't think he's back. He was not practicing on Wednesday with a concussion.
Well,
so
Thursday
I guess
he was.
Oh,
but it wasn't
for
like
Gibson.
So it all comes down to that for Gibson, right? If McKissick's out, like, well, cause let's say we don't know, it's Friday morning. So
right.
If McKissick's out, then that changes everything. But I do think if McKissick plays, people still are going to play a lot of Antonio Gibson because they just think the usage has really changed. And maybe it has, but I don't think we have a lot of full on evidence that it fully has until we see them in negative game script with McKissick on the field. Cause they just haven't been in negative game script at all the past month. So I think there's some fragility to him at his price. But yeah, I mean, it's a terrible running back week though. Like,
yeah, nothing like a week where Josh Jacobs is the jam.
We went from a week where there was too many running back plays and we were trying to narrow down who we really liked to like, all right, well, who are we gonna get? It's definitely feels like a two running back build week this week.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. What do you think about the 49ers? Because I think we're trending now towards Hasty and Jeff Wilson Jr. both being active. What do you think happens there?
I honestly hands in the air because like I said, I don't think it's just a Jeff Wilson jam spot because of Jeff Wilson one came back earlier than a lot of the people we follow on Twitter suggested.
They all said he wouldn't be back until like late November.
And as a byproduct of that, now we've had him have his knee injury flare up in game and now during a week of practice at different times. So the signal to me is that like he probably just isn't like 100%, that knee isn't fully ready to go. And he hasn't looked good when he's played anyways. So
no, he's looked and combined, Hasty and Jeff Wilson Jr. played 3 snaps last week.
Yeah, and so I think it'll be one of these hodgepodge games for the 49ers where it could be like Jeff Wilson for a little bit, Hasty for a little bit. We might see Kittle get some handoffs. I could see like that happening. I doubt that they use Trey Lance because they hate us and they haven't used him in the run game at all to this point. They ran a 4th-and-1 RPO with Jimmy Garoppolo last week. Did you see that?
It was the most angry I've ever been. I immediately tweeted like, what the fuck is Kyle Shanahan doing? You have a literal tank. Like Trey Lance is like 240 pounds built like this guy is massive and Jimmy G just wilts at the first tap. It was so obnoxious. Like Lance gets the first down on that play 99.5% of the time.
And I know like, you know, listeners are probably like, you know, hey, yeah, we know you guys have a Lance agenda. You guys don't.
And
like
you bring Lance in and it forecasts what you're doing.
But anytime the 49ers have done this in a game with Lance, it's worked. Oh, first week of the season, opening drive in the season, they bring Lance in. He throws a touchdown at Trent Sherfield. And they play the Packers 3 weeks after that. They have a 4th down as time is expiring in the first half and they bring Lance in and he runs for a touchdown. I just don't like, you can do this. Like, why are they not even sprinkling this in even a little bit? Like just a little bit. Why are they sprinkling it in? It's absolutely frustrating, but I honestly don't know. Running back is a nightmare for this week. I want to play the hell out of Kamara because it's such a jam spot. Like if he was fully healthy, but like we still have Taysom and like, is he healthy? There's no Ty Montgomery. There's no Mark Ingram. It's the Jets. We know they're going to run the hell out of football.
Earlier in his career, maybe we would have thought like, oh, you know, they treat him with so much kid gloves. They'll use Ty Montgomery or Dwayne Washington or whatever here.
Yeah, Tony Jones.
But they were giving him 30 touches a game earlier in the season, you know? So I don't know.
Like, yeah, I've been like wrestling back and forth. Like, do I just go in on Kamara? Cause people might be hesitant because of him just coming back and then Taysom. So maybe he's just a jam. Like you just go 100% Kamara and ride or die with it. But I've been kind of wrestling with that. But Eckler seems like a really good play on the pay up spot. And then it's just gross after that. It's just really
bad. Do you have a Palmer versus Guyton take? So Chargers passing game, no Keenan. What do you think? And then Chargers passing game, no Keenan, no Mike. What do you think?
Yeah, I think you jam big Mike if he plays. Just because the offense don't throw him. And literally anytime Keenan Allen's been off the field and Big Mike's played, he's been awesome. And anytime Mike Williams even had 20% of team targets in a game this season,
he just fucking crushes. Yeah, he's so good.
Yeah, he's been absolutely. He has 5 games this season with 20% of team targets or more. 8-82-1, 7-91-1, 7-122-2, 8-165-2, and 5-110. And like those are like ridiculous lines. And you're getting the discount on him anyways. He's priced to where, you know, this news came out after. So if he plays, I'm just going to jam him in and just say what happens between Guyton and Palmer. I don't know if there is like a great answer. I think the answer actually would signal Jared Cook. Cause he's just their slot receiver.
My take is Palmer because Guyton is just a wind sprinter. Guyton is just Chris Hogan.
He can't really win. He hasn't really shown any wide receiver nuance.
And Palmer will play. I mean, Palmer will obviously not be as good, but Palmer will kind of play, is at least capable of like running more routes other than just like straight wind sprints.
It could also just be bad. Like it could just be a bad game.
It could just be they score 21 points, you know, or 18 points. Get out. Yeah. Herbert scores a rushing touchdown. Eckler scores twice and they get out of there.
Yeah. I mean, the Giants are the only team in the NFL have more field goals than touchdowns.
Oh my God. Have you tweeted that?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to tweet it right now.
It was a couple weeks ago. Yeah. They have 7 more field goals than touchdowns.
The Giants are the only team in the NFL with more field goals than TDs. That's so good. My favorite thing on Twitter is shitting on the Giants because the Giants,
their fan base is crazy.
Well, they used to fight back, right? The Giants fan base used to be like, no, you don't understand. Gettleman, he didn't take Dwayne Haskins, and Haskins sucked. He took Daniel Jones, and whatever that nose tackle he took ended up being good. Leonard, I don't know. I don't know his name.
They signed Leonard Williams.
Signed Leonard, but they drafted a nose tackle that same draft who ended up being good too. I don't know his name. And they used to be adamant that like Gettleman actually knew what he was doing, but now they've all gone the other way. Now they're like, Daniel Jones stinks. They all stink. Everyone stinks other than Barkley. Everyone's got to go other than Barkley, but they'll never admit that Barkley has lost a step.
My son, you know, who's a giant honk that lives the life. He lives play to play. He tells me their playoff scenario like yesterday, but then he's like, oh, two top 10 picks. Can't blow that. But he's like, then he's just like, well, we could use the Steelers to win tonight because the Giants are still alive.
You know,
the
Giants are still alive.
Yeah, he cracks me up, man.
My dream scenario is Gettleman gets to stay and he ruins another draft and he gives Barkley a contract and then he gets fired mid-season next year. That is my dream for the New
York
Giants.
He's already out though, right? Like he's already basically like plotting the fishing boat.
Basically what they said. Yeah, basically they said, will they keep Joe Judge? Will Joe Judge stay around?
Yeah, that's the mistake they're going to make is they should just rip it all up. Let the new GM have these draft picks. Let him hire the guy he wants, right? Like don't force Joe Judge on him. Let him hire the guy he wants. Even my son, the 16-year-old Giants fan, is like, he loses his shit over Joe Judge. He's like, this dude, all he does is make these guys run laps. And he's supposed to be like a good special teams coach. And they're the most undisciplined team and have the worst
in the world. Yeah.
He's like, they have a dumb penalty that's like cost them two games because they had what? Two times they went offsides on a field goal that like was missed and they would have won the game. And then the team gets the re-kick and then they win the game. Yeah. Dexter Lawrence was the dude we're thinking
Dexter
about,
Lawrence. There we go.
But yeah, I mean, I think that if the smart play, which they won't do, the Maras won't do, they're probably going to hire a new GM, force Joe Judge to run this back another year, give him another year. And don't forget, they also have, this is the fence year for Daniel Jones. They're going to pick up his fifth year option, I assume. And
do
so,
they? Oh, do they extend him? That they'll pick up the option, but the question is, do they extend him?
Well, no. Well, then it's just a Trubisky situation, right? You pick up the fifth year option, and then it becomes a Trubisky situation where you know he's not good, but you have him. So maybe he doesn't even start in 2023, but he's still on the roster because you had the fifth year option, and it's like it's all just setting up to be a disaster. Where I believe you just rip it up, man. That's the play. You just rip it up.
They're not going to, though. It's not the Giants' way. Yeah. All right. Let's get you out of here. Tell the people where they can go. Send them in the right direction, my friend.
Hey, this is sharpfootballanalysis.com. The worksheet's up. We've got a few more weeks left in the season. I know a bunch of people have checked out, but hopefully if you're still playing DFS and making sports betting, that never goes away, no matter how bad your regular season fantasy went.
Yeah. Yeah. We're all good. It's such a weird thing because FFPC stuff is wrapping up right now. Like most of my teams are dead, but like my home leagues, like the Roto-World League that you and I are in, we haven't even started the playoffs yet there because of the discrepancy of how that works. So like my home leagues, I'm still sitting there, you know, scooping Josh Palmer up on first come first serve waivers.
Yeah, Jermichael Hasty.
Yeah. And all the high stakes stuff is basically done now that there's in terms of roster moves. So it's just sort of interesting. All right, everyone, we're going to get out of here. Sharp Football Analysis, Lord Reeves, you guys know the deal. We'll be back next week.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. In fact, Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/podcastfree. All lowercase, shopify.com/podcastfree, shopify.com/podcastfree.